At the mic. I'm going to ask before I get started here, does anybody need a handout? I have some extras today. Oh, there we go. I'll set the other ones down here. Well, good morning. It's a blessing to be here today. I'm always honored and humbled to have an opportunity to open up God's Word. Let us start with the scripture that we're going to base it on today. And it's Philippians 3, 1 and 2, 18 and 19. I guess I should open up my Bible. That helps if you want to read it. There we go. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the conscience, for we are the circumcised, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. And I read one more, but that's okay. Then jumping down to 18 and 19, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, whose mind earthly things. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have here to open up your word. Thankful for everyone that's here. Pray for those that couldn't be here. We already had a time of prayer for them. And we just ask that you would keep me out of the way and that your word would have your way as it did with me, with everyone here today. We thank you again for your word and the opportunity. And we give you the praise for this day in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, I love many promises in the Bible. There's so many of them that sometimes we accidentally say, oh, this is my favorite. But then the next day there's another favorite. But one of the ones I find interesting is in John 10:10. And it says, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. But yet, you turn to Ephesians, you go to Ephesians 2:1, and it says that we are dead in the trespasses of sin. Now, doesn't that sometimes get conflicting to you? I know it does to me. I know that if you're heading in a direction with God, if you're going in any direction, there's going to be friction. There's going to be things that slow us down, the things that maybe get us, I would say in friction, so you want to say hot, but I like to say frosted when I get uptight. Ooh, that just frosts me. You know, so, but trying to stay in the theme of things, there's those things that come in. But we serve a God that is the God of joy. He's a joy giver. Satan, he's a joy taker. And we have to watch out because he wants to kill our joy. Every day we must submit to either one or the other. There's really only two choices I see on the shelf, serving God, serving self. And we got to watch out. It's not always Satan that bothers us. Pastor, other leaders and stuff. Satan only walks around the earth. He can't get to everybody. So sometimes it's just ourselves, but he does have his other fallen angels that can influence and steal our joy. So what I'm trying to look at today is how we can keep our joy. And we want to always walk in our joy. Remember, though, that Satan is a defeated foe. Because 1 John 4:8 says, greater is he than he that is in the world. So for number one, the man back there got it all fixed, working right. Thank you. Maybe I'm just doing it. So, and we start the first part of this verse. It says, finally. And I know a lot of pastors joke and when they say, finally, then you've got all this, you know, another two chapters coming. But what it is, I was just dawned on me, I think I was talking to Pastor earlier today, is it takes a while to get to your main point. So I think Paul here is saying, finally, I've got to what I want to tell you. So that's the reason I started there. Happiness comes in a a number of sources. I'm sure I just mentioned happiness, and you can think of a few right now that make you happy. But true joy only comes from one person. That's the Lord, right? Now, there's nothing wrong with having those things that make us happy. Don't ever take me wrong there. Because, you know, don't tell anybody, but I love the surf. But I'm here in Idaho. But you know what? I got a sticker on the back of my truck that says Surf Idaho. So now I got to live up to it. I've heard, and if anybody else has heard, I heard there's some river surfing around here. And I want to make connections with some people. You know, some people find happiness in the bar. Some people find happiness at a smorgasbord. That's one of the places I enjoy. Some people find happiness in a promotion. Some, you know, and more power. Some people love to have authority and power, and they love to lord it over people. Some of those people are young, and they just get promoted, and they just love, no, you're doing that wrong, and they just love that. It gives them great happiness. But I tell you, Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let not your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things that you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." A joyful contentment is found not in our circumstances, but in our resource. And we must remember our resource is always the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself. It's an amazing thing that the Holy Spirit lives within me. He lives within you if you're saved. God is with us. But sometimes happiness may pull us away from him. Let me tell you, you could have $1 billion, you could have a beautiful home, you could have an RV brand new sitting out there, you could have everything that maybe you're thinking of right now, and there's nothing wrong with having any of that. Matter of fact, I would like to have a best friend that was a billionaire, and he had his RV that he couldn't use because maybe he'd let me use it. There'd be nothing wrong with that. But Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore." Forevermore. Did I quote that right? Evermore. At his right hand. The closer we get to God, the more joy we will have. The closer we stay to God, the more protected we will be. It's so easy for me, I don't know about you, is to get caught up in things and start going to the left. We're saying God's right, I'm wrong, but if I'm going left away from him. And that's what happens, and it happens before you know it. That's why you all are here. You know that you need to be hearing the word of God. You need to be in church and have fellowship. That's where our strength comes from, with each other. We're considering, quite often they call us a family here. So family should care about family. And then sometimes, you know, you just have to reach out and love them and forgive. And that's a good thing to do. Jesus forgave me, and he forgave you. But we must guard against the spirit that I've heard it all. I don't know about you guys. Pastor or somebody will open up, and I said, I've heard that. And if I'm not careful, I'll tune out. But we haven't heard it all. We need to hear it. Later on, I'm going to challenge you with something that might be good. Yeah, I have tried it once or twice, and I just changed my reading schedule. I'll talk about it a little bit later. Got to keep track of the time. Got plenty of time. So, let's go to joy comes through one source. I already covered that. And that is the source that we talked about. That's Jesus Christ. So you got that? So now we'll go to B. Joy continues through steadfastness. That's 1B. In there, to write the same thing to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. So I already said we need to guard against, I've heard it all. We need to stay right on with God. We all have our favorite foods, our favorite beverages, our favorite snacks, our favorite vacation spot, our favorite thing to do throughout the day or the week. We have our favorite airlines. We have our favorite stores. Has anybody gone to Trader Joe's thinking of that? I just got to go. That's wonderful. I miss Trader Joe's. And you know what's coming? And I can hardly wait. Is In-N-Out Burger. Yes. Here. Coeur d'Alene. I just heard it, and I'm just waiting for him to build it. I can't wait. I loved it when I was in the Army. The guy said, you know, we'd be out, and we'd be TDY somewhere, and we'd be in California. And I'd say, oh, let's go get lunch. And I said, I'm going to treat you to In-N-Out Burger. And then when we're sitting there, I'd say, oh, look, what's on this, the bottom of the cup here? And I'd read the scripture to him, and they'd go, we know why you brought us here. I remember one time, I don't want to get too far off, we got through the mission helping the Marines do a beach landing. And I said, we were done, it was Sunday, I said, there's time to get our plane, and we were in San Diego, and I said, I'm going to go to church. And so I pulled up to church, and we're in this convertible, and I said, come on in, guys, you'll love it. It was Clement Independent Baptist, Independent Fundamental Baptist Church. Anyway, so I pulled up, and he said, No, don't worry. You just go on. We'll just sit right here. And I said, we didn't get it. But I was talking to a guy who was a Green Beret. And he says, no, he was a SEAL. I take it back. He says, oh, they're out there? So he went out and during the whole service preached to them. They couldn't get away from it. But God is good. We got to stay close to the source. We enjoy something new once in a while. We need to stick to the steadfast word of God. I don't care if you're Old Testament, New Testament, whatever, stick to it. It's faithful. It will bring you joy. It speaks to you every way. So there's a value in ongoing, continuous instruction from the Word of God. I believe I'd have it there. Let's look at this thing, make sure. And I print these things up and change them so many times I forget exactly what I did. No longer I have. So we're on number 2. Yeah, I've got it right there. Isaiah 26. 9 through 10. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Doctrine is nothing but teaching, by the way. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Now I'll get to the point. I want to challenge you, if you so decide, to pick a book, maybe Philippians, maybe 1 John, and for 25 days, read it over and over. And I'll challenge you, next month, I bet you get something new every time. God will show you at least one thing. I've changed things up. I started out when I realized I needed the Word of God. I used to read Old Testament, New Testament. And then there was a pastor in California who was preaching, or we were talking, I don't remember, he wasn't instructing, but he said he likes to read the New Testament twice in a year. And I said, oh, that's good. So I did that. But then I heard another preacher just recently, and I'm trying, and my new Bible reading now is a chronological Bible. So I think that's going to be interesting. But it's old, but it's new. It's so easy for me to say, I've heard that before. I've done that before. So you need to challenge yourself. But I would challenge you to try that. Take a small book of the Bible and read it every day through. For years, I've memorized scripture. This is a small stack, and I have to review them. If you ask me to stand up and Pastor said, quote, or I'm up here, sometimes I'll have a verse when I'm at home, and it just comes out naturally. But it's here. It's not that I have it here. There's sometimes I'm witnessing or talking, and the scripture just comes up, and then it just flows. But that's because the Holy Spirit lives within us. Amen. And guides us and directs us. That's why we need to work at it. So David was at a point where there was no joy in his life. I think you know where I'm going with this. He had a great sin, murder and adultery with Bathsheba. And what did he say? His lust had caused him trouble. The one-night stand ruined his life for a while. He was miserable. He said, even his bones ache. I'm going to read it now, 51, 7, and 12. This is another good one to memorize, but I'm going to read it because I get up here and I'll just get lost. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, pardon me, O God, and renew a right spirit within. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Is joy missing in your life? Just go to God. He'll bring it back no matter where it leaves. He is a God that loves us. He forgave us for all of our sins, and he wants right now for us to come back and to walk and be filled with his joy. It takes ongoing steadfastness. It's another, again, as we talked about, being thankful. It's a spiritual discipline to stay right with God. There are some deceptive imposters, though. While the devil has many weapons in his arsenal, perhaps his favorite and most effective is deception. In 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 14, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Revelations 20:10 says, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. I say amen to that. His day's coming someday. Oh, wait a minute, that reminds me of a message. Payday someday, who did that message? You remember? Yep, payday someday. I thought about getting a copy of that and trying that, you know, steal his message there. But Satan talks a good game, but his target and his goals are different than ours. They're different than what the Lord wants us to do it. At least Satan should get advantage of us. We are not ignorant of his devices. 2 Corinthians 2:11. We need to be aware of his devices. Many people don't believe there is a Satan. Oh, he has no power. And it's true, greater is he, as I said before, that's in us than is in the world. Amen. But he can deceive us. Look at Adam and Eve, had everything perfect. He deceived Eve. Adam let it happen. Turned around and said, let's eat the fruit. He gives partial truths, incomplete truths. And he likes to conflict us. That's the problem. You've got to be very careful and very discerning. A lot of TV and radio preachers, they can be 99% right, and they'll have that 1% that's wrong. And that can be used to undermine our relationship with God, hinder us. So, all right, I'm going to read Matthew 26. 37b through 41 in just a minute. But we wonder how we had the disciples who were so close to Jesus, that walked with him for all that time, slept with him, went through, saw healings and everything. They were so strong. But sometimes we can be stronger than them. Reading Matthew now, begin to be sorrowful and very heavy. They said unto me, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. This is Jesus talking. Even unto death, tarry ye here, and watch with me, and wait a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He warned and pleaded with the disciples right there. He now, through his word, wants to warn and warn us and plead with us to watch and pray. No doubt, Peter, being the strong man, you know what he said in Matthew 26, 33 and 35. Peter answered and said unto them, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I not be offended. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. But then we go on and read 26, 33 through 35, Peter answers him, oh, I just did that. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stands take heed, lest he fall. We also always have to be on guard. Attrition in the Lord's work always follows by a lack of attention to the Lord's words. Beware of dogs. I just had to do that. Beware of dogs. That's verse 2b. Beware of evil workers. I'm sorry. Got a little messed up there. Beware of dogs. We just did that. So there we go. We're on B. Beware of evil workers. Got a little confused there. God warns us here of an inside job. On one hand, 1 Peter 5:8, God uses the metaphor of a roaring lion to describe how Satan operates against us. But in Matthew 7:15, he points out another animal. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Here is another of Satan's deceptive ploys. Of course, we aren't going to let the wolf in among the sheep if we can tell who they are. We don't want that. Perhaps if he's disguised, we won't notice what they look like. Anyway, Galatians 2:4a, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in. Every once in a while, you can smell a wolf in the church house. You just tell it there. There was a time when we helped start a church from Lancaster Baptist. We went to Castaic, and there was a church there, and it was folding. And so Pastor Chappell and the church there wanted more independent fundamental Baptist churches in there. So I happened to be a small part of that with the pastor that was there. And what happened was we started to grow. And some more people, Pastor and I used to go out soul winning 3 or 4 times a week and follow up and get people to come in. So we got kind of big. But then I noticed this one guy that came in, there was 3 of them, that came in and they seemed all right, but something didn't seem right. So I watched them as, not followed them around, but he was setting books down. And it was wrong doctrine. He was trying to influence people, so I pointed it out to the pastor and had a talk with him, and they left. And there was a couple of his friends stayed, and during Wednesday night service, and that they would have questions and stuff, and after the preaching, and these people always brought up contrary doctrine, and was always, you know, you do that if you have something you disagree with, you go to the pastor, you don't bring it up while everybody's there. So there's people that want to come in and they want to destroy a good church. So we need to be aware of that. So I told him, there's something wrong here. Now I want to encourage you at this point to always remember to pray for our church. Pray for our pastor, his wife, the workers that are here. You know, it takes a lot to make the Lord's Day the Lord's Day. A lot of things that we don't notice that go on. There's people that do all kinds of things to be ready for today. There's different classes going on right now. So keep everyone in prayer and beware. Always be aware. Beware of concision. Concision had its root back in Judah and is mentioned in Acts 15:1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. They were trying to bring the law back into the gospel. We had that in the church in Blairsville, Georgia. There was a Judaizers, and they tried to bring back the law, and they didn't do it, or the pastor could see. They were just to people and saying you needed to do this and you needed to do that. There are people still today. And if you know what my thing, if somebody comes to me and says something about the church I'm in and the pastor, I said, oh, really? Come on, his office is right down here. Let's go talk to him. I'm not going to discuss it with him. I'm not going to argue. Let the pastor explain it, because he'll do it much better than me. So we should always do that. You know, we have a tendency, and I have the tendency sometimes, well, I can defend that scripture. But sometimes, with me, the more open the mouth, the wider it gets for both feet. So moreover, brethren, I declare in you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherewith ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, now that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, I got the note down there, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. We know that these people tried to bring back in that you need to be circumcised. You need to follow the law. It's adding to what Christ did. That's not what we do. We also notice earlier in Galatia that Paul said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from the call of your grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there is some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Galatians 6, 1 through 7. If something doesn't line up with Scripture, it doesn't line up with Scripture. I mean, sometimes I can just not get it, and you follow through. But remember, be careful. So it seems, I was talking to somebody when I was door knocking, and we got in a pretty good lengthy conversation. They just invited me in, and the family was there. And I try not to use, you know, what you call Bible terms, and try to speak clear. But I must have said some, I don't remember what it was, that this person said, you know what, you're using all this Bible terminology, I can't follow it, I don't understand. But we began to look, and I said, as Bereans search the Scriptures, so must me. They, in Acts 17:11, I explained the terminology that I used, which wasn't too bad, I didn't think. These were more nobler than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, wherever these things are so. Search the Scriptures, John 5, 39. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye shall have eternal life, and they which testify of me. Three times in the New Testament, God complains, a simple warning, be not deceived. Be not deceived. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 1 Corinthians 15, 33 and Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived. We can recover from being deceived by a salesman. We can recover by being scammed by get this credit card and get these extra bonuses on your plane. We can recover from that. But when we're deceived from the enemy, that's much more serious. But remember, in closing, I want to remind you, greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. We need to stay in touch. And there's nothing, I know guys sometimes, maybe we don't want to admit, we don't want to go to the brethren, we don't want to go to the pastor and tell him, look, I'm under attack, I think I've been deceived, and just fess up and let him straighten it out. I think you women are probably more eager to do that. I know I've seen it in my wife. She always says, well, why don't you just go ask the pastor? Why are you messing around here with this? But that's a good thing. Pastor's always willing. I know he would open his door. He would answer the phone. He'd be willing to talk to you if Satan has deceived you and got your way. The sooner you admit you've been deceived, the better it is. What happened back to Adam and Eve? What'd they do? They hid themselves from God. So if we're deceived and all of a sudden we know it, we feel it within it, we start hiding from God. You'll see people that'll start missing Sunday school. Maybe they'll start missing Sunday evening, Wednesday night, different things. And that's why I know pastor and other brethren will call them and say, are you all right? There are things that happen. There's work and things that come up. You're sick or whatever. But they'll follow after. Don't let the enemy deceive us. So in closing, I'm going to close in prayer. Is there any questions or anything, any comments anybody would like to give? You're welcome to. We got a few minutes. All right. I'm going to close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We just pray for the service to come. We ask that our hearts would be made ready. Thank you for getting me through this as I'm recovering from my cold. And you just got me through this, and I appreciate it. So we want to give you the praise and the glory, ask for a hedge of protection around the service to come, the rest of the day, and we love you, and we want to draw closer to you. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. So I guess we'll take a break, Pastor, and we can open the doors, and we'll see you all in a little bit.